And I take your attention to the book of Job. Job chapter 1 from verse 6. For those of you who have done theology, you would understand that Job is actually one of the oldest books in the Bible. It is so old that we actually could have it even before the books of the law. Job chapter 1 from verse 6. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them." Satan always goes where he's not invited. My God, what audacity. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth,'" of course, seeking whom you may devour, "'and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side?'" By the way, just before I continue reading, can you just say, "God, put a hedge around me. Put a hedge around my family. Put a hedge around my career. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons' daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from the heavens and burnt up the sheep, the servants consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his hair, and fell to the ground and worshipped." Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you bless us, speak to us, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, somebody say amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I have observed that relationships nowadays are very superficial. I have observed that when I look, for instance, at how my father, my mother related, when I was growing up, and people of that age, their relationship was not based on maybe money or maybe what somebody had. Their relationship was based on loyalty, commitment, and till death do they part. And most of the relationships that I observed of those people of that age is that most of them started with nothing, really, and had to build themselves from nothing to being something. From struggles they went through together, challenges they went through together, but they were so tight. And it's not just about marital relationships. Even how they related one to another, as friends, for instance. I know of people I can think off my head who are friends of my father, my mother, and have been friends, and continue being friends even when one passes on to the children. Tight relationships, committed relationships, loyal relationships. When I look at relationships today, I can tell you they are so fickle. Oh, relationships nowadays, my goodness. We are so used to this fast kind of life, or fast foods, if you like, instant coffee, fast foods, that have influenced us to get to a place where we have no time to wait. The number of young people who are getting into trouble because of wanting to get rich quickly is astounding. Young people who can't wait to grow their wealth. Young people who want to come out of school and the first car they want to drive is a V8. Because they saw you with one. Little do they know that you did not even start with a V8, you started with a bicycle or with a Volkswagen, whatever it is, the cheapest car that you could afford at that time. Tight, loyal, committed relationships are rare to find in our day and age. In fact, I want to challenge you, if you can have three or even two tight, loyal, committed relationships to yourself, count yourself lucky. So we have transferred this flippant, flimsy, easy relationship, come, easy go, even to church, and even to God. that somebody will leave church simply because they were told not to sit in a particular seat. And we have very many excuses of even not coming to church, leaving church. And I learned long time ago, because I started pastoring long time ago as a young boy. And this is an advice I want to give pastors. Don't ever wonder about somebody who left church. It has got another dimension which actually touches on the relationship with God. We have brought in that flippant, non-committed ideology even when it comes to relating to God himself and to church. So somebody will leave church simply because they've been fired. Somebody will leave church because they've been believing God for a husband for the longest time and the husband is not coming. Somebody will leave church because they are not getting promoted and they've been praying and giving. That is not the kind of relationship that you find in the Bible. And I want you to hear me this morning and hear me good. This man called Job was one of the greatest men to me in the scriptures. He's one of the greatest men to me in the Bible. Job is one of the greatest because, number one, not anybody really gives his testimony, but God himself gives the testimony of Job. And God himself says, oh, my servant Job. God comes and says, Job is righteous. Job shuns evil. Job is outstanding. God, who knows everything, God of the universe, God, the omniscient one, God, who nothing is hidden from him, comes and says, Job is a righteous man. Job shuns evil. Job. What a testimony from God himself about a human being. What a testimony that God can say, oh, look at my daughter. I'm proud of my daughter. Look at my son. Look at him. And so the Bible says that when the sons of God were presenting themselves before God, Satan get crushed. And when Satan get crushed, I want you to follow me now, where Job's problems began. I'll preach on three S's. The source of his problem, the scope of his problem, and the success of Job. To make it easy for you. The source of Job's problem. God initiated the problem. God says, have you considered my servant Job? The trials of Job did not descend out of the blues. The trials of Job descended from God himself. They had a sovereign origin. And not a satanic origin. It was God who started this issue. And God was starting the issue, not that he can destroy Job, not that he can punish Job, But so that he can prove to Satan that there are people who truly and genuinely love God, not for what they have, but for their relationship with Jehovah God. And so God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I want you to know this morning that God sometimes can allow trials to come your way. Hello. Not every trial actually is meant to destroy you. Not every trial is meant to crush you. But God will allow trials to come your way sometimes, because trials have a way of sharpening you, strengthening you, testing your faith, so that your faith may come out as pure gold. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, this is a sermon that most of you will not say amen to, because you want to hear bless, 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 bless. But I'm giving you a reality sermon, all right? A reality sermon. You may not like it. Just look at it later, and you'll thank me for it. God will allow. The Bible says that there is no test that has come to you that has not been weighed. And that every test that comes to you, God weighs it and sees your capacity to handle it and sees your ability to handle it. So he has tested every trial that has come your way, and he knows after testing that trial that you are capable of conquering it and being on top of it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And that nothing will come to you that God has not tested. I repeat, nothing, 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 even the things that you think are the worst, nothing will come to you that God has not tested to allow to come to you. And don't forget that God has protected you already, and that God has a hedge around you, and that there's nothing that will come to you without God's knowledge. For your life is in God, is in Jesus Christ, and in God, says the scriptures. So your life is hidden in God. God started this discussion. And this discussion was not started by God so that Job will lose, or Job will be crushed and be nobody, because God is a sadist. God is not a sadist. God is a good father. So he told, have you considered my servant Job? But Satan, his agenda was different. Satan's agenda was to finish Job. God's agenda was to be proud of Job. God's agenda was to show Satan that Job is righteous and that Job's faith is intact. But Satan's agenda was different. Satan wanted to come and do his thing of stealing, killing, and destroying. So they're different views here. Satan wants to destroy. God wants to show off with you and show off how you're going to win. But Satan had another agenda. And so the hedge was removed. And Satan was given the permission to attack this man called Job. And the first thing that Satan went for, he went for his property. So the Bible says that Satan goes, destroys 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, all suddenly stolen and destroyed by fire. The richest man in the east becomes bankrupt in a second. Think about it. The richest man in a split of a second. And I want to just say here that money has wings. I want to say this here. Money has wings, and money can fly. So be humble when you have it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just be humble when you have it. I was going to say something, but I won't say. I want to say it in a nice way, in a church way. Just be nice. Praise the Lord. You know, just be nice to people when you have money, because that money can fly. I know people who have lost millions of stocks, even in the U.S. And I also know the same people, when they sold, they had lost all their property. The next thing was to hang themselves, kill themselves, because what they lived for went in a split of a second. In a split of a second, they had put all their faith in the money, in the property, in the dollars. Oh, the dollars. The dollars are dropping. The dollars are going. And even as I speak, do you know how many people have lost just by these dollars going down? Do you know how many people have lost? Dollar coming down from 160. Last week, a friend of mine was telling me that they changed it at 129. And ni huruma mulisikiliwa, huruma, huruma. It was going to go down completely. Central Bank said, hey, let's watch on the investors. Mulisikilo huruma. And so the message is, if you have dollars, boss. Central Bank had to intervene to protect the investors. Because the investors had put in so much money, and all of a sudden, in a week, some countries that were laughing at us, they're not laughing anymore. Money! Money has wings. Money can fly. My friend, watch out. When you have money and you think that you can mess up everybody because of your money, Job lost everything in a split of a second. From the wealthiest man of the East, the wealthiest man, who was he? Not even Elon Musk or Bill Gates. He was the wealthiest. And all of a sudden, he comes down. It is good to be poor and be rich than to be rich and be poor. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is good to be poor and you build yourself because you have gumption, you have stamina. You know, you've been there, spent a night and got a t-shirt. But if you come from there and then come down, my friend, you will be Johnny who came tumbling down from the wall. A split of a second. Gone! Gone. I saw a one-time minister of finance in this country in town, walking with a box, carrying that, it's metal box. You were the ones who used to use to school, but you went to a good school. You didn't use a metal box. You know, if you went to these Ivy schools, you don't use a metal box. But some of us who went to those Korogosho schools, let me tell you, we went and bought a metal box and went to school. With that, I saw a minister of finance in this country one time who was walking without any money. Has wings, boss. Just be humble and thank God and be a blessing because God has blessed you to be a blessing. Amen? The reason why God has blessed you is for you to be a blessing and not to be on everybody's face and humiliate them and be proud. Because money has wings. In a split of a second, Job lost all the property. While he was still speaking, the scripture says that that was not enough. He lost his progeny. 7 sons and 3 daughters. We're all killed. Now that is getting close. Now that is getting close. Because when the devil can't get you, he'll get your children. Hear me. When the devil really wants to hurt you, and that's why you should cover your children with the blood of Jesus Christ. When he cannot get you, he will come and get your children. Because it's sensitive. It is closer to you. It is, you better be touched yourself than your children being touched. So the Bible says seven sons, his progeny, three daughters were killed. Oh, do you still believe in God? Job, you have been impoverished. Ten children. Multiply the pain of losing one child times ten. Job, what is happening to you, Job? Have you sinned against God? His friends came and began to say, you have lost it, Job. Job, your ways are not right, Job. This can't be happening to you, Job. And you claim to be a person of God. His friends, Eliphaz and Timnah, and all of them came and they started now saying, oh, all these calamities are happening to you, Job. How quick are we to judge? Oh, how quick can we be to judge our friends when they are going through the worst times of their lives? Job has lost property, progeny. The Bible says while they were still speaking, same day. It looks like when problems begin to come, they come in a series. It appears like when the devil begins to attack you, he has only one address. And that address is you. And that all the bad things that can happen in a day, you get a phone call in the morning, and before you process it, in the afternoon there's another one, and before you process it, you have been called to the school, and before you process it, you have been called to your workplace, and before you process it, you have been called by your parents. A series. I don't know about you, but for me, when problems begin to come, they come in series. Me. They come in series. I know. But when the blessings begin to come also, they come in series. So I'm okay. Because I know the sequence. I know the sequence. When the blessings begin to come, they'll come in the equal measure. Even more. But when problems begin to come, they also come in series. While he was still speaking, property gone, children gone, nobody's in the house but my wife. While he was still speaking, the devil. Now, this is when you know that the devil is bad, because he can even attack your physical condition. Sicknesses are from hell. Disease is from Satan. You learn that from this verse. Because the Bible says he struck Job from the head to his feet with a very, very severe disease. Very severe disease. And the Bible says actually smitten with a putrefying sores from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Job could not sleep. Sores everywhere. Are you
time, Job is still faithful to God. Satan pulled his best shots to Job. Now. There's nothing as bad as disease. Some of the richest people have said they can pay anything and everything just to be healthy. Just to be healthy. The health that you take for granted, that you can wake up, shower, come to church, sit down without an oxygen tank, you're carrying oxygen mask. That alone is a blessing that money cannot buy, which we take for granted. If you don't believe me, after this service, go to Kenyatta Hospital. Nairobi Hospital may not allow you, but go to Kenyatta Hospital Intensive Care Unit, or go to the kidney dialysis after this service and see the number of people who are queuing just for the dialysis case to have the machine and to have their turn because their kidneys have failed and their legs are swollen and their body is swollen because of toxins which the kidneys are not able to deal with. If you don't believe me, just after this service, go to the casualty of Kenyatta Hospital and stay there for 30 minutes, not more, 30. You will leave that place thanking God for the health he has given you and how he has provided for you to be able to breathe freely in and out and to walk with your two feet, even though you don't have the money that you think you should be having in your pocket. Job has lost his health. It is so bad. Sores from his head to his feet. The Bible says this rich man had to get a stone to remove pus that was building in these sores all over his body, sores all over his body. He has been attacked viciously by the devil. I know of somebody who had a prostate cancer. One of the richest men in this country. It was discovered when it was gone a bit, stage one, from stage one to stage two. The doctors say when from one and two they can manage. They say when it gets to three, going to four, then it is you and your God. I was talking to one of the doctors about this issue, about this business of prostate cancer and what have you. And they told me it's like going to Mombasa by road. And that from Nairobi to Mtitwandei is stage one and two. That one you can come back, you can do a U-turn. When we reach Mtitwandei, you can decide whether to go or to come back. When you reach Mtitwandei, he told me it's stage one and two, it's like that. If you arrest it at Mtitwandei at stage two, we can turn it and you can come back to Nairobi. Says by stage three. When you get to stage three, Peter Mtitwandei, Mombasa utafika. Utafika Mombasa, my friend. Utafika Mombasa. And Mombasa here is not literal. You know what it is. That man discovered he had prostate cancer. One of the richest men and still has companies today that are controlling the economy of this country. Today. The children still. They have got companies that control the economy of this country. When he got so sick and money could not help him and he was lonely, he told his wife, "Let me go by the poolside. I'm coming back." Went as rich as he was. The pain was excruciating. No painkiller would help him. Morphine, one of the most powerful painkillers, could not help him. He went to the pool. The only thing that was left was to drown himself. Left everything and died. Sickness, sickness, pain, sores, bed sores because you can't move. The worst thing that can ever happen to somebody is sickness. Sickness. Job got to a place where he lost everything. Property, progeny, physical health. The last thing that Job lost, not even the last, there are several. Scripture says that he lost his position. From this big, wealthiest man of the East, he lost his position. He became the loathsome object in the East. Loathsome object in the East. He who once sat among princes is found sitting among ashes. How things can change. How things, do you know people who things have changed for them? For the negative? Don't mention their names, but just think. Do you know people who used to be high and mighty, who no longer are? Don't mention their names, but I'm just saying things can change. From this mighty person sitting with princes and everything became the loathsome person sitting in ashes all by himself. The last thing that Job lost was his person. The wife was so confused and so annoyed at what Job was going through that the wife who knew God, she was not an atheist, she was not a heathen or anything. She's somebody who knew God because she had seen the husband worship Jehovah God. And she had seen how God had blessed them and how God had blessed the work of his hands. And so she was not an alien to this Jehovah God, but she got to a place because of what the husband was going through and the pain and everything is gone. She came and said to the husband, "Curse this God and die. It's too much, Job. Let us die." I'm sure if Job listened to her and cursed God and died, she would have hung herself, and that would be the end of Job's lineage. Too much. Death is the solution at this point. We've taken too much. This God needs to be cursed. And we can go to hell. lost everything. Women, be careful what you tell your husbands. Hello? Yeah, be careful what you tell your husbands. We are not as strong as we look without you. Are you hearing me? Yeah. We ride on your strength most of the times. Oh, yeah. I have lived long enough to see men who have lost their wives and seen how they also lost it. Particularly if the woman was a strong woman, particularly if the woman was really, really, you know, they were tight and were together. And then the wife dies. My friend, then you realize that that man actually was great and was who they were simply because they had great support. They had great advice from the wife who loved them. So when you have a man, this is free advice, this is not part of the sermon. Just telling you, please be careful what you tell your husbands. They listen to you. You're the closest. You have access. Use your access wisely. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Use your access wisely. They may pretend they have not heard you, like we always do. Hello? Hey! We pretend that we don't listen. But then after we've gone in circles, we go back to what they said. Can the man say amen? Amen. Yeah. No. Can the man say amen? Amen. Curse your God and die. That is when Job got to that place where he said, everything is gone. My health is gone. My children are gone. My position in this society is gone. Everything has been taken by the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Job got to that place where he made a statement at that particular time, and the statement is this. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand up. He says, even though this body is destroyed, I know I shall see Jehovah God. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, you may go through trials, you may go through difficult times, but stick on to God and hold on to God, because at the end of the day, Job was the one laughing and God was laughing. God is going to have the last laugh even after your trial. Can you hear me this morning? God is going to win. God always win. I love that Nigerian song that says God will win. Look at your neighbor and tell them God will win. Hallelujah. Tell them God will win. Yes. God will win. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the devil has taken away from you. Maybe he has taken your property. Maybe he has taken your money. Maybe he's taken your position. But I came to tell somebody who's going through a rough time that if only you can stick a bit. If only you can hold on to Jehovah. Oh, look at three people and tell them, hold on to God. Or tell them, hold on to God, hold on to God, hold on to, if only you can hold on to God. Some of you are on the verge of giving up, but only if you can hold on to God, you will see light at the end of the tunnel. Look at somebody this morning, in fact, stand up and give somebody a high five and tell them, hold on to God. Hold on, just hold on. Don't give up. Don't kill yourself. Don't take the knife. Don't drink poison. Don't do the stupid things that people do. Hold on to God. You will see the victory, the salvation of the Lord. Somebody give God some glory in this house. Give God some praise. You will see the salvation of Jehovah if only you can hold on to God. Hallelujah. God is going to win. I came to announce to somebody here, God will win. I swear to the living God, God will win. If only you can hold on to God. I don't care what it is. I don't care what he has tried to do. I don't care the spanners he has thrown into the works. God is going to win. The scripture says the end of Job was greater than the beginning of Job. Your end is going to be greater. Your end is going to be, if only you can hold on to God. The Bible says he did all this, first of all, to shame the devil and to test that Job qualifies for the next level. Scripture says that Job was blessed double at the end of the chapters of the book of Job than what he had before. I am telling somebody here who's going through a rough time, God will win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, one more time, say God will win. Yeah, whatever it is, God is going to win. The scripture says that Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but God says, I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. He has prayed for you. You know what sifting is all about? Sifting is removing in pieces and just removing the pieces out of the wheat. But God says, I have prayed for you and you're going to make it through it all. Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I have learned to hold on to. Through it all, oh come on, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. You will make it. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. The trials came and the trials went. And Job is preached all over the world today simply because he passed the test. I pray that you too will pass the test. It may not be easy. Maybe so difficult. You may cry along the way. But hold on to God and you will make it. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Give God a round of applause. You will make it. You will make it. The source of the trials. The scope of the trials and the success of Job. I pray you too will have success in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you shout a big amen?
Amen.
I said you'll have success.
Amen.
Good success.
Amen.
Victorious success. The storm is over. I say the storm is over.
Amen.
You know, a good thing about the word of God, the moment it is preached, oh, metokea. If I had not preached this and you're going through trials, you would still continue being in trials. So the good thing, those who are in trials are coming out. Those who are coming in have been prepared. So it's a win-win situation. Hallelujah.